The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Covenant Network invites you to join Patty Schneier as she and her guests talk about one of the greatest moments in our lives, when we discover our personal vocation from God, our pearl of great price. From that point on, nothing is the same. Our yes determines our unique pathway to holiness and how we will live for Christ here on earth. Join her to hear inspiring stories of discernment, response, perseverance, and joy. And now, here is Patty Schneier.
And welcome to another edition of The Pearl of Great Price, the show that celebrates the beauty of every vocation and the joy in living it out. My name is Patty Schneier. I'm your host here on Covenant Network, and today is a very special show. I can't even tell you, listeners, how excited I am to tell you where I am. I am in the Holy Land. I am on pilgrimage. I am here in the city of Jerusalem, having spent 9 days so far on a fantastic pilgrimage with the Theology of the Body Institute and Christopher West. We have an amazing group of 57, and we have met so many friends from all over the world are with us on this pilgrimage. And I can't even tell you how many sights we have seen and how my faith has just come alive by being here in the Holy Land and walking in the footsteps of Jesus. But God is so good, because literally on Mount Tabor at the Church of the Transfiguration, as we were walking up, a beautiful day, I met someone in our group. Her name is Anne Marie Warner, and we got talking. She's a beautiful young woman, and she is literally going to be entering the Sisters of Life as we finish this pilgrimage within a few weeks. And we got talking, and of course I said, would you maybe want to do an interview while we're here in the Holy Land, if we can just find a half hour that we could sit down and record this? So here we are, and I can't wait for you to hear her story. So our guest today is Anne Marie Warner. She's 31 years old. She was born and raised in Clarkson, Michigan, then moved to Massachusetts in high school. And currently, Anne Marie lives outside of Washington, D.C. in Alexandria, Virginia. She graduated from Bentley University in Massachusetts with a degree in corporate finance and accounting. She has worked in public accounting and for the March for Life, as well as most recently for the Given Institute, providing leadership training, faith formation, and mentoring for young adult Catholic women. Anne Marie loves running, volleyball, soccer, and baking, and she has seen in person the last three popes, Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict, and Pope Francis, all at World Youth Days. Well, Anne Marie, welcome to the Pearl of Great Price radio show.
Thank you, Patty. It's great to be here.
Well, this is such a joy, because you and I, of course, have just met on this pilgrimage, and here we are in the Holy Land, just with the sights and sounds and walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And of course, our faith has just come alive, as I know it has for you too.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
But friendships are also formed, and we've just enjoyed meeting people in our group. Mm-hmm. And I just think it was so providential that God allowed us to have that conversation that would lead to this radio interview.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about your family and the early seeds, if you can remember, of faith, or if there were any signs that pointed you to making this decision to enter religious life.
Sure.
Did you ever think you'd be a nun, I guess is what I'm asking you.
When I was young, I did not initially think I would be. My parents raised us in the Catholic faith, so I had a beautiful upbringing in the Catholic faith. I'm the oldest of five, so I have four younger siblings, one sister and three brothers. So we grew up praying together as a family. I went to a Catholic school, kindergarten through eighth grade. So it was really just part of our life, and my parents definitely emphasized the importance of our faith and made sure to make it a priority within our family life. So I was very blessed by that.
That's beautiful. But obviously, at some point, you have to make the faith your own. Mm-hmm. For you, was that in high school? Was it in college? Or was it after college when you were working?
I think it grew gradually over time. So as a child, I loved faith and all I had learned about it. So it was something that was always there for me, something very deep. But I think I most profoundly made it my own in college. That's when I began to get involved with other groups in my college and in colleges nearby. So I started to become more active in my faith at that point, beyond just Sunday Mass and kind of like the daily little prayers that I was doing. I had some great friends in college who introduced me to a lot of different aspects of our faith, such as theology of the body, which is a lot of what we've been learning about on this pilgrimage. So I think in college is when it began to come alive, and I really began to take more of an interest actively in the faith.
Let me just stop there for a minute, because you did not, is Bentley College, Bentley University, that's not a Catholic college.
No, it's not.
So for our listeners, where do you find those pockets of faith? On a college campus, was it on campus for you? Did you have to go outside of that college campus? And what were some of those great organizations? You said Theology of the Body for one, but just expand on that for a little bit.
Sure. So in college, I went to a secular university and was studying business at the time. And there was a Catholic campus connection group on campus, but it was very small. There were maybe 10 of us kind of actively involved on a weekly basis doing a Bible study. So there was a little bit on my campus, but I did go outside of just my college to find other friends who were Catholic and other events that I could participate in. So in Boston, where I was, there's a lot of universities and colleges and a lot of Catholic events that were run by the archdiocese or larger universities that we could kind of jump in on as a smaller campus.
But you sought those out.
I did, yes.
I love how you said, though, there was only 10 of us, but sometimes, you know, 10 is enough.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I think the smaller groups, sometimes the friendships and the faith, you can just really bond very deeply.
Mm. So how were you introduced to the Sisters of Life? Because you are about to enter within a matter of weeks of coming home from this pilgrimage. You are about to enter the Sisters of Life. When, where did you first meet them?
I first heard about them through friends. So I had a friend who entered the Sisters of Life a few years ago. So I think I initially heard about it when she was discerning. And then I had seen a sister speak at a Eucharistic Congress in Boston. So I think maybe that was the first sister I had seen.
So you knew of them, but when did you hear the call to religious life? And was it immediately a call to the Sisters of Life? How did you discern that?
I first started discerning, I guess the seed was planted in high school. So as a junior in high school, I was on a retreat. And at the end of this retreat, I felt a restlessness in my heart. And at the time, I wasn't really sure what it meant, but I knew it had to do with the question of my vocation. And looking back, I'd been able to kind of identify two pieces of that restlessness. One was the question, what is my vocation? What am I going to do with my life? And the other was an invitation to consecrated life at the same time that those two things were happening. But I didn't grow up around religious sisters, so I never really saw sisters in habit. But I was familiar with consecrated women. So consecrated lay women, I had grown up around them in my school and had seen their witness of consecrated life. And that had always attracted me. But in this moment, it was a very strong attraction and an invitation that was going along with it. So as a high schooler, I wasn't really sure what to do with that. But that was the first stirring. And then it kind of led to more formal discernment later.
Okay. So when did you first decide to take those steps to seek out? What did that look like for you?
Yeah.
And who did you tell?
Yes. So the question was always in the back of my mind ever since high school, but I kind of tried to push it away, honestly. I was scared of it. I didn't know what it would mean or what it would lead to. So I tried to just forget about it, kind of live my life, studies, work, all of that. But it didn't go away. It just kept popping up. So the question kept coming back. And after college was when I decided to really look at this question and discern formally, you know, is God calling me to a form of consecrated life? And if so, you know, what will that look like? So at that time, I had heard of the Sisters of Life and so decided to go on a come and see retreat with them. And on that retreat, it was really beautiful because there were two things that were confirmed in my heart. Just spending a weekend with the sisters and living their life of prayer and seeing their witness of total dedication to God really confirmed that call to consecration that I had felt ever since high school and that had just kind of always been there in the back of my heart. So that was confirmed. And then the other piece was the charism of the Sisters of Life.
And so tell us about the charism, because it's a beautiful charism.
It is, yeah. So the Sisters of Life take a fourth vow, and all religious take the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But the Sisters of Life take a fourth vow, which is to protect and enhance the sacredness of all human life. So that really is the heart of their prayer and all of their ministry.
When you said that, just so our listeners know, here on this pilgrimage in the Holy Land, we were able in Bethlehem to go to the Tomb of the Holy Innocents, which they said was literally where so many of those children were massacred. And that was very moving for me. I'm sure for you,
too. It really was. Yes, just to pray for the unborn and their mothers.
Yes, yeah. That's where I felt that most powerfully there, too. I just wept for that there. And I'm sure I was thinking of you as well at that moment. And knowing that you're going to be giving your life to help protect the dignity of all human life. And it's still going on today that we need that witness and we need to safeguard human life, the innocence.
Yes, yes.
So what do you most look forward to as you have been accepted and you're about to enter religious life with the Sisters of Life? Having seen and spending a come and see weekend with them and knowing what their maybe their day is like, what do you most look forward to?
So many things on one hand. I think I would say the life of prayer is something that I'm really looking forward to, just entering into the rhythm of prayer that the sisters live and just that spousal relationship with the Lord that is consecration within religious life. So that is definitely one thing. And the other would be community life, you know, living with the sisters, getting to know them as a family, and the mission as well. So the Sisters of Life have a variety of missions, all focused around protecting and enhancing the sacredness of human life.
So what are some of the things that they actively do?
So they work primarily with women in crisis pregnancies. So they walk with them during their pregnancies and give them the support that they need to have their child, and afterwards as well, they continue to walk with them. They work with women who have suffered from abortion, so they have retreats for their hope and healing mission. They have a retreat center in Connecticut where pretty much every weekend people of all ages come. They have young women's retreats, women's retreats, men's retreats. They do college evangelization on campuses. So it's a whole host of things.
Wide variety. Wow, that's beautiful. Okay, so we like to let our listeners get a glimpse of you, and I'd love to get a glimpse of you as well. So first of all, just tell us who have been some of the favorite saints in your life or with whom you most identify, especially as you look towards this chapter in your life of entering religious life. Who are going to be your go-tos?
I love St. Pope John Paul II. He is definitely, I think, my first and foremost go-to. All of his teachings have so strongly resonated with me and with who I am, and just the way he teaches the faith, and again, theology of the body is a big part of that. So I just love him and feel like he's a real spiritual father to me. So I think I go to him very much and very often. St. Faustina is another one that I've come to love through the Divine Mercy devotion. So she is another one as well. I've been to Poland a few times, so I've been able to see the places from their lives and really pilgrimage through those holy sites.
That's beautiful. Do you have a special devotion or prayer that's been an anchor in your life?
One I say a lot is a prayer to the Holy Spirit and our Blessed Mother. So just come Holy Spirit, come through Mary. Every time I enter into prayer, I say that. And I think it just really brings their presence to a situation.
I love it. And you know, it's so funny. Sometimes the quick prayers are sometimes the most meaningful that they come off your lips so quickly, but that's what is most in your heart. So I love yours. Say that again for our listeners.
Just come Holy Spirit, come through Mary.
I love that. Okay, then do you have a favorite scripture verse or gospel story? And, you know, we've been on pilgrimage, listeners, so you have to realize we've been just really living the gospel stories of Jesus, everything from his life and ministry in Galilee and then coming down here to Jerusalem. So I know for myself right now, all of the gospel stories I would say would be my favorite. But Anne-Marie, do you have a favorite?
It's hard to choose one, like you said. One that I love is the story of Jesus with the woman at the well. I think it's such a beautiful encounter between them, and he really is able to speak to her heart, to see her where she is, and allow her to see herself and to just experience his love and his mercy and his tenderness. So I love praying with that.
I knew I liked you for a reason. Women at the Well has always been one of my favorites, too.
Oh, good.
So I see I'm discovering these things in common with this new friend, Anne-Marie. It's just so beautiful. Okay, so tell our listeners, this pilgrimage really has been very, very special. But what have been some of the grace-filled moments for you, and what are you going to take away as you enter into religious life? I'm sure for you, your heart just must be stirring, as it is for all of us. But what are some of those moments for you that you've encountered on this pilgrimage?
I would say there's two moments in particular that have been really special to me. One was being at the site of the Annunciation. We entered this big, beautiful basilica, and there was a little grotto where there's an altar and candles, and where Mary said yes to the angel who came to her and announced that she would have the baby Jesus. So that was really special. Just we had about an hour there to pray. And so just sitting in that site, and again, the connection of the Annunciation with the Sisters of Life and their mission and their prayer and their work is a very profound one. So for me, that was really special to see that place, to be there. We had Mass in the Basilica as well. So that day was a really special one. And then now being in Jerusalem, where we've been this weekend, we've been able to go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and also just praying at Calvary has been really beautiful. We had Mass there this morning. And again, it's just so profound to think that we're in these places where Jesus mm-hmm. lived, walked, and died for us. So yeah, those I think are two moments in particular that were really grace-filled for me. And then I think I'll take away probably just the images of this land and entering into the sisters and entering into their prayer life. I'm really excited to have visuals of what these places look like. And so I'm hoping that they'll help really inspire just prayer and help me enter into the stories of the Gospels in ways that I wasn't able to before.
Awesome. And I echo everything that you said, because those are everything. It's just been overwhelmingly beautiful. In our final moments, do you have any advice to someone who, like you, you said this desire or this feel of a calling was there for a long time and you tried to, you know, make it go away, mm-hmm. but it kept popping up. What do you say to someone who has that tug on their heart that just keeps popping up? Because, you know, this journey is not easy, but I want you to just shed some light on what that feels like mm-hmm. and then what you would say to someone else who might be feeling the same thing.
Definitely. I would echo the words of St. John Paul II when he said, "Be not afraid." And I know in my own story, I had a lot of fear around religious life and what this call would be and what it would look like and how it would feel. So I think there can be a lot of fear surrounding discernment, but just from my own experience, I can say the Lord has totally dispelled all the fears that I've had about religious life up to this point. So I think just if you feel that call, be not afraid to pursue it or to explore it and just see where the Lord is leading. Because if he's calling you to that discernment, there's something in it for you. And so, yeah, I think just be not afraid and know that the Lord has so much beauty in store, more than we can ever imagine. The little bit of religious life that I've seen so far, it really is so, so beautiful. And so I think just trusting in the Lord's goodness and that he has a beautiful plan and design for each one of our lives and not being afraid to take the steps that are needed to discover what that is.
I love it. And you take the steps in tiny increments, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And again, we want to stress even to our listeners, she's just about to enter religious life. So she's still discerning mm-hmm. and will discern for a long time. As a matter of fact, do you even know how long your formation is going to be?
Yes, the initial formation is about 3 years. So the first year is postulancy, and then the 2 years after that are novitiate. Then after the 2 year novitiate would be when first vows is. And then after first vows, it's at least 5 years before final vows. So it is a long process of discernment.
Right. So it's definitely not a decision. We've stressed this over and over again on this show, of course, for those that are discerning religious life. They enter with just that fiat, with their yes, mm-hmm. as she so beautifully said, being at the Church of the Annunciation where Mary gave her yes. So just Anne Marie is giving her yes to the Lord and seeing where he will take that. Mm-hmm. And perhaps it's with the Sisters of Life, but she's about to find out. And we're just so grateful to you, Anne Marie, that you shared with us a bit of your journey here as we are sitting in the Holy Land together. I mean, it's just a beautiful place of encounter, and that we would encounter each other mm-hmm. was a grace-filled moment for me on this pilgrimage for sure.
Likewise, me as well.
Okay, well, we are almost out of time and we conclude our show praying for vocations. So Anne Marie obviously does not know this prayer, so I'm going to pray it today, and I invite all our listeners to join me as I pray this prayer for vocations. And in a special way, let's pray for Anne Marie Warner. I'm going to place my hands on her right now as I pray this prayer for vocations. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
God our Father, bless your church with an abundance of priests, deacons, brothers, and sisters. Give those you have called to marriage and those you have chosen to live as single persons in the world the special graces that their lives need. Form all of us into the likeness of your Son, so that in him, with him, and through him, we may love you more deeply and serve you more faithfully. And Father, help me to know and to live my vocation. With Mary, I ask this through Jesus our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Anne Marie Warner, thanks for being our guest today on The Pearl of Great Price, and God bless you as you begin this new chapter in your life, entering the Sisters of Life.
Thanks so much, Patty. Great to be here.
All right, join us next time for The Pearl of Great Price. Until then, go to pattyschneier.com to listen to previously recorded broadcasts. Click on the radio show tab and share the link with family and friends. This is Patty Schneier reminding you to seek the will of God in all things and strive for holiness.